Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Saturday, the 11th of January. I had to think what month it was. What is going on? Welcome to Slaughter Day. Dreading it. Dreading it. No, I've said it all week, but I am dreading it. Right, let's get involved. What should we get involved with? I've got lots on. I've been up for flipping hours. Let's get involved in the old VAR. Shall we get involved in the VAR last night again? I don't watch football generally. I'm not involved in Tottenham, but we've got our nephew Sam's sister's son staying with us for a couple of days. And he's a West Ham fan, so we wanted to put that game on last night. So I sat and put that on. And obviously we had a dramatic ending. I've had a look at it again this morning just to make sure that I'm not talking nonsense, because obviously everybody came on Twitter. VAR shit, VAR's crap, Kelly, Kate's West Ham not happy with VAR. Let's just get the facts of it once again. Firstly, the West Ham, they don't celebrate goals apparently. Well, I think they did celebrate the goal last night, didn't they? Snodgrass went absolutely mental. Moyes was leaping up and down the touchline. So let's dismiss that myth straight away. I maintain I have still not seen a goal scored this season where the fans haven't jumped up and down when it's gone in. I've been at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium with VAR decisions when it happened, and everything when I have watched football on the TV, I've not seen anybody stand their hands in pockets while I'm not celebrating. Absolute myth that gets bandied about social media. Nonsense. Now, if you took VAR away, so one of the guys said VAR's ruining the game, and I understand people might want to see it taken away completely, and that's a different view to mine, but that is really the only option I see. You either have it or you don't have it. You can't have bits of it. So if you took VAR away last night and that goal stands, and then you play the replay to Sheffield United fans, and you see that the ball definitely hits Rice's hand, without it hitting Rice's hand, it is going past him, the defender heads it. It would have gone past Rice, but it hits his hand, which makes it drop at his feet, which contravenes the laws as they stand. So if it doesn't hit his hand, the ball path is different. So you're Sheffield United watching it, hits his hand, falls at his feet, goes on, they score the goal and the goal stands. Then a Sheffield United fan's going to feel aggrieved when he sees that replay. And that's exactly why VAR was brought in. In particular, you know, TV showing replays afterwards that these things happen and everybody up in arms. The actual concept, though, of what constitutes handball, I'm fully in agreement with the majority. I think the handball rules have gone. But if you take that instance last night, the guy in Stockley Park, with the laws standing as they are, they check every goal. They don't just pick and choose, they check every goal. So he's checked that goal, rewound it back to where the phase of play started. It hits Rice's hand, it definitely falls at his feet, which it wouldn't do if it hadn't hit his hand. Whether it's accidental or not, whatever you want to say, it hits his hand, falls at his feet. He has to call it as no goal. He has no option. He's not sitting there saying, I want to do this to mess the game up. He has to call it as no goal. Exactly the same as when they put the offside lines, and they're not the offside lines we see on the TV. We are the only country that show the full process. Their lines are 1 pixel wide. It's only when they decide to firm it up and say that's where the line is, do they make it bigger for the TV. They widen it out to 4 or 5 pixels for the TV viewers. They are the only country that show the full process, 1 pixel. Once he decides it is offside, he has to give it. It can't be a degree of offside. That is the laws of the game. And if we've got a problem, then we need to get hold of the IFAB and tackle the laws of the game. Even if you get rid of VAR, those laws are still there. It's not anything. All VAR is doing is allowing guys to look at it and say, yes, it did hit his hand. I think the handball rule is nonsense. I don't think Sissoko's was handball in a Champions League final. I don't think the PSG handball against Man United in the Champions League was handball. I don't think it was handball for Jesus when Man City scored a winner against Tottenham this season. I wouldn't class that generally as handball last night. But watching it this morning again, he definitely changes the path of the ball and it drops at his feet. But it is a big, it's a big thing. But the players are to blame, and to an extent the fans. Because back in my day, handball, when I was a youth, your arm went out and stopped the ball. Now players are kicking it at players from a yard. They've been doing it for 5, 6, 8 years, kicking it at defenders from a yard, screaming handball. All the fans scream handball. It's cheating. We enable it. We do it in the fans. We stand there praising these guys like heroes. Handball, handball. You hear every single game. It is cheating. And that's why we've got to where we are. Because if they hadn't done that and they didn't cheat like that, that handball rule wouldn't be anything like it is now. But the laws of the game are trying to keep up with players who tend to cheat. So they're saying, right, we can't distinguish now, so we're just going to give it any handball, touch of the hand, that's it. I do think it's daft, personally. But, you know, you take a sport like snooker. People say it doesn't affect this, that and the other. You take snooker where a guy goes in, bridging over a colour to hit the cue ball, and he stands up all of a sudden and calls him foul on himself. His shirt sleeve has brushed, let's say he's bridging over the brown, has brushed the brown. The brown ball hasn't moved, it hasn't changed the layout of the table, it hasn't affected play at all, but it's a foul. He calls a foul on himself because that's the laws of the game. So the fact that, oh, you know, when it brushed Jesus's arm, it didn't change, that's the laws of the game. That is where it is. And all that we've got at the minute is the officials can only implement the laws that are there. So massive uproar last night, but I think if you took VAR away and showed that to Sheffield United fan, they would be leaping up and down. We've got to where we've got. But do not think that a lot of this isn't because the players are cheating little gits. So there you go, that's my bit on it. I understand, as I say, people may want to take VAR away completely. Right, been up for hours. Everything is done on the website. All the ultimate halftime lays, etc., all that stuff is done. I've got quite a few horses I'm going to run through for you now, and a bit of football. I'm not in at all today until I get back for the 49ers game tonight. I've got this charity golf do thing, and then I am off up to Spurs. Those in the trading, I will be doing that on the move today. So messages will come through, as I say, for the 3 o'clock kickoffs. Right, let's get on with the old horses, my little beauties. Right, got quite a few today. Firstly, just let me get Betfair up, please. He says, let's move it over onto that screen so I can, that's better. Right, in the 225 at Warwick, Shan Blue as a win bet. Win bet, 225 Warwick, Shan Blue. Kempton 205. This is the nap of the day. Kempton 205, Frodon. Nap of the day, that is. So you want to have a half-decent win bet on that if you're getting involved. Frodon in the 225, in the 205, sorry, at Kempton. And in the 355 at Wetherby. 355 Wetherby is there. Gosh, my nose is still a little bit. Maridardi, win bet, 3.55, Wetherby, Maridardi. And then I've got a couple of big price, bigger prices. 12.40, Wetherby. 12.40, Wetherby. Milan Storm, win and place. 12.40, Wetherby, Milan Storm, win and place. And 1.50 at Warwick. Let me find that one. 150 at Warwick is hold the note, win and place. 150 Warwick, hold the note, win and place. And there's one other, which is 130 Kempton, Eric LaRouge, win and place. Eric LaRouge, win and place. So that is all your horses for today for the pod. Seemed to be a successful test on day one of the automation, so that was good. Right, and football-wise, I have got in Leicester versus Southampton, first half goal. So 0-0, 20-25 minutes, Leicester-Southampton, back over 0.5 first half goals, or lay under 0.5 first half goals. And tonight in France, 7 o'clock, Metz versus Strasbourg, 0-0, 20 minutes, back over 0.5 first half goals, lay under 0.5, same bet, whichever one you want to have. If that game gets to 0-0 at half time, then revert to the 1.5 market, backing over 1.5 goals. I do it in two stages, one on 45 minutes, and if it's still 0-0 on 65 minutes, I go in again and trade on a goal. If the first half goal bet wins, ignore the 1.5 market. I thought I'm clear about that, but somebody asked me about that the other day. If it's 1-0, do I still play the 1.5 market? No, I don't. Odds checker. Right, let me get there. For the NFL, massive game tonight. As I say, I've either got my nightmare. This could be a great day, it could be a really crap day, or it could be, well, you win one. Get this golf out of the way this morning, give them a good pasting, and then we have got the NFL. Right, we have got Minnesota versus San Francisco 49ers. Vikings at the 49ers. I am going with the 49ers to cover the handicap. 10 to 11, 24 to 25 at Marathon, minus 7, the 49ers to cover the handicap against the Vikings. I definitely think they're going to win, and I think they will cover the handicap. In the other game, the game overnight is Tennessee versus Baltimore. Tennessee versus Baltimore. I'm having a half stake on this one. Tennessee plus 10. Baltimore could blow them away, but the spread is just too big to ignore for me. So I'm having a half stake. Tennessee plus 10. We'll see how those two get on. Then there's a further two games tomorrow night. So standard bet on San Francisco 49ers minus 7 and a half stake on Tennessee plus 10 at Baltimore, which is the 1:15 kickoff. I might be having a 24-hour binge and going right through the night again, I guess. Right, have a great Saturday. I hope all goes well. Dreading it. But I think if Liverpool score early, the floodgates will open. And as I say, if you hear reports of a man leaping off the Dartford crossing, you know it's all gone horribly wrong. Right, have a lovely Saturday, and I will be back with you tomorrow morning.